We'd like to welcome you to the Nationwide Gospel Call. This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, one of the co-hosts of this Nationwide Gospel Evangelistic effort. Our speaker, Brother Eddie Sanders from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, worships at the Salem Creek Church of Christ. His subject tonight is When God Speaks. His text tonight is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. And this time, Brother Eddie Sanders.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. I appreciate the invitation. I also want to thank the Holland Heights congregation and the opportunity to be able to be on the Nationwide Gospel Call again. We certainly appreciate the effort that's being put forth, and I pray, it's my prayer, that something will be said that will motivate, inspire, encourage, and challenge us, that we will continue to follow God's word and not the words of man. I want to go ahead and get into the lesson tonight. I remember as a little boy, one certain commercial that was on television back in the 80s, and it was a series of commercials that revolved around the same theme. And usually it centered on two or three people in a busy airport or at lunch or at some other busy place where there were a lot of people. And these people were usually speaking about investments. And eventually one of the people would say, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And all of us that are on the call tonight that remember that name, E.F. Hutton, we're familiar with that name. And at that time in the commercial, all noise would stop, all conversations would cease, all actions would come to a standstill, all traffic would halt, and everyone would give their undivided attention to hear what E.F. Hutton had to say. And the commercial would end by saying, "When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen." When we look at the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews begins his letter in Hebrews chapter 1 with the same idea in mind. The Hebrew writer is basically saying, when God speaks, people should listen. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer in the King James Version uses two words. He uses the word spake in verse number 1 and uses the word spoken in verse number 2 in reference to God. And he's emphasizing that God has spoken and that people should listen to what God has to say. And in order for you to hear God speak, you must push aside all other voices in your life. And all of us, we have all types of voices in our lives. We have people that are constantly giving us advice and they're speaking to us. But if you want to hear God speak, you must push aside all other voices in your life which are distracting you from listening to God's voice. We listen to the media, and sometimes people give more credence to the media, CNN or Fox News or your local news. They'll give more credence to the media than they will the Word of God. We need to hear God speak. Sometimes people will give more credence to talk show hosts, and there are all types of talk shows that are out there. But I maintain that we need to hear God speak. Sometimes people, they'll listen to the government before they'll listen to God. And we're supposed to be law-abiding citizens. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to follow the law. And we should be law-abiding citizens. But when the government starts speaking in support of laws that violate God's law, we need to not hear those voices. We need to follow the voice of God. And the Word of God teaches us in Psalms 118 in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Oftentimes, we give more credence and credibility to friends and colleagues, and sometimes people in our own family. We'll give more credibility to man than we will to God. The purpose of the epistle of Hebrews is to encourage Jewish Christians to remain steadfast in their faith, which is accomplished by showing the superiority of Christ and the new covenant. That superiority is demonstrated through a number of contrasts, and the first contrast begins in the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 1, which we're going to look at tonight, in which Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is contrasted with the prophets of the Old Testament. And I'm going to use for a subject tonight, when God speaks. When God speaks, not when man speaks, but when God speaks. And in this lesson, I want to examine how God spoke in times past and how God speaks in these last days. Who were God's spokesmen in the past? We see this very clearly and very plainly in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And I hope that you're following along. I hope all of you that are listening tonight from across this great land and nation that you have your Bible, pencil, and paper and follow along as we teach the Word of God on this evening. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Who God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now, the expression "in times past" refers to the period of time prior to the coming of Jesus, which was described in the Old Testament. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. The fathers would be the ancestors of the Israelites. The prophets would include great men like Samuel and Elijah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. And the Hebrew word for prophet means one who boils over. It refers to one who is inspired by God to speak for him. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to show you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, as we continue to move along in this lesson. The Bible tells us very plainly that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then when we go back and look at this particular verse, we have the Apostle Paul. He's talking to young Timothy, who many call Timothy his son in the gospel. He says all Scripture is given by whom? It's given by the inspiration of God. In other words, that basically means it's God-breathed. If what you believe is not God-breathed, and there's all types of religions in existence today, but if what you believe is not God-breathed, it did not come from God. It came from man. And the question that we need to ask ourselves, and I'll ask this question again at the end of this lesson, the question that we need to ask ourselves tonight is it from heaven or is it from man? Is it from heaven or is it from man? And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves on this evening. So I say again, all Scripture is given by whom? It's given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And if what you believe is not God breathed, it did not come from God. And just because you believe it doesn't make it right. There are so many people that they have their own beliefs and their own ideologies, and they believe that if they believe it, that it must be right, or it has to be right because their grandmother told them, or their grandfather told them, or someone off the street told them. If what you believe is not God breathed, it didn't come from God. It came from man. So all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Look at what else the text says. It's profitable for what? For doctrine. In other words, teaching. One of the things in 2021 that I never thought we'd have to deal with is this issue of baptism. Is baptism essential to salvation? Baptism has always been essential to salvation. It always has been. It always will be. Baptism is required. Baptism puts one into Christ Jesus, Galatians 3. And verse number 27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have been clothed or have put on Christ. And I say that because we have some believing, and there may be some on the call tonight that don't believe that baptism is essential to salvation. God's word teaches differently. That's a teaching that comes from man. If man tells you that baptism is not essential to salvation, then that's a teaching that comes from man. God's word says that baptism saves. God's word tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what God's word tells us. And we have to come to the point in our lives, and hopefully you'll come to that point tonight, where you have to get out of the gap. And I always use this term, the gap. A lot of people are where they are in religion. They're not following Christ because they remain in the gap. They choose to be in the gap, and they stay in the gap. But Brother Sanders, what is the gap? I'm going to share with you what the gap is. The gap is where you find yourself between that which you cannot disprove and that which you cannot deny. It's between that which you don't want to accept and that conclusion you know you have to make. So therefore, you remain in the gap. You've been in the gap all of your life. You know you can't disprove what's being taught, but you also can't deny what's being taught. so you remain in the gap. And a lot of people think that by remaining in the gap, that it's the easy thing to do. But I encourage you tonight, you need to get away from the gap, and you need to allow God's word to penetrate your heart, because when God speaks, I believe you need to listen to God. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, which is conviction. It convicts those who are in error and encourages them to change. That's what God's word does. So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the improvement of life and character. God's word is designed to penetrate our hearts and our souls that we might improve our lives. And it's not only profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Where? In righteousness. Man needs to be taught what is right from God's perspective and not your own perspective. And there are so many people out there, they have doctorate degrees, which I have nothing against degrees. I'm an educator. I'm a former school teacher, and I have nothing against people who further their education. I have nothing against that at all. But sometimes people can get so smart, they think they're smarter than God. And we have to come to the realization, and the understanding that our perspective should never rise above that which is written. Our perspective should not be our perspective. It never should rise above what God's perspective is. When God speaks, it is with authority from the throne of heaven that carries more power and weight than even the President of the United States. It carries more weight even than Congress or any legislative body that's out there. It is the same authority of the voice that spoke the world into existence. The phrase God said is used over 1,000 times within the scripture. And even I can go back all the way back to the book of Genesis. During creation, God said it, and it was so. God spoke the world into existence. Man didn't do it. God said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1. He said, let there be light. And when God said, let there be light, there was no hesitation. When God said, let there be light, there was no pause. There was no moment where there was a halt in what he was doing. When God said, let there be light, the Bible said there was light. God spoke it into existence, light. We have water because of God. We have grass because of God. God spoke the world into existence. The reason why people have stopped listening to God and started rationalizing in their minds what they believe is right. There are so many people, they've stopped listening to God, and they've rationalized in their own mind this theory of what they believe to be right. And what you believe to be right, if it doesn't match up with what God says, then what you're saying is you choose to listen to your own rationalization than to follow God's word. You and I will not make heaven our home by listening to the ideology and the methodology of man. But Brother Sanders, why do you say that? Because Jesus said one time in the greatest sermon he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But watch this. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If we're going to make heaven our home, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we have to do the will of the Father. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 12, Solomon said one time, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Proverbs 21 and 2, the Bible said every man or every way of man is right where? In his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. What's right in your eyes may not be right in God's eyes. And for whatever reason in this country, we hate what God loves and love what God hates. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. For whatever reason in this country, we've gotten to the point where we hate what God loves and we love what God hates. What's right in your eyes may not be right in the eyes of God. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, the Bible said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And when you have people that do what's right in their own eyes, you have chaos, you have confusion, you have division. And that's why we need to listen to what God's word has to say. When God speaks, we need to listen. God's eternal message is so important that it cannot be ignored, and you just can't dismiss it. So many people are dismissing the fact that there's just one church. So many people are dismissing the fact that baptism is essential to salvation. You can't dismiss what God's word says. You can't ignore what God's word says. The text says in Hebrews 1:1 that God spoke at various times and in different ways. God's revelation did not come all at once, but progressively at different times. God's methods varied, using visions, dreams, and symbols. God has clearly revealed himself as one who speaks. And what God revealed through his prophets in times past is wonderful, but now consider what we learn regarding God's spokesman in these last days. In Hebrews 1, going back to our text, in verse 2, the Bible said, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us," watch this, "by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." The expression "in these last days," literally at the end of these days, which may be understood as referring to either the closing period of the Jewish age or the period of the Messiah. It denotes the final phase of history brought on by the first coming of Christ and continuing until his second coming and the consummation of all things. Watch how God has spoken to us. God has spoken to us by his Son. God talks to us through his word. That's why we need to listen to his word. That's how God talks to us. God has spoken once again, but note the contrast. In times past, it was through prophets. But in these last days, it is by his Son. God sent his Son to speak for him. And God is pleased with what his Son has to say. In John 3, the golden text of the Bible, we read it all the time, and many of you listening tonight can quote it. In John 3, in verse 16 and 17, the Bible said, "For God so loved the world," that, watch this, "he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." But look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So God has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. As the beloved Son, it is only natural that Jesus would be the appointed heir. What does all things include, Brother Sanders? All that the Father has. In John 16, in verse 15, "All that the Father hath are mine," the Bible says. "Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." The authority to rule in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28 and verse 18. "All power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, if all power has been given unto Jesus, somebody must have gave it to him. And it's very simple and very plain who gave it to him. God gave it to him. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and I always like to look at this particular passage of Scripture. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and look at verse 1-5, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and beginning at verse 1, the Bible said, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him." Look at verse 4. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter, you've spoken too much now." Look at verse 5. "After Peter spoke these words, while he was speaking," in other words, Peter was interrupted in his talk. Peter had gone too far. He said, "Let us make 3 tabernacles. And the Bible said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In other words, Let me go back to verse number 5. Look at the voice out of the cloud. Well, Brother Sanders, who was the voice in the cloud? We all know who the voice in the cloud was. It was God's voice. It was definitely God's voice. It wasn't Joel Osteen's voice. It wasn't Dr. Field's voice. It wasn't Jimmy Kimmel's voice. It was God's voice in that cloud that says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In other words, what's being said here is, this is my Son, and I approve his message. This is my Son, and I approve of his message. And if God approves of his message, then you and I not only should approve it, we should listen to it, because it comes from God. Not only is Jesus the heir, but also the creator. It was through the Son of God that created the universe, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Jesus said one time, as we wind this down, in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening tonight, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on whose voice you're going to follow. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the mainstream media? Are you going to listen to talk show hosts? Are you going to listen to your family? Or are you going to hear God speak? I want to go to heaven, and I know everyone on this call wants to go to heaven. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to listen to what God's word says and not what somebody told you last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. You have to listen to God speak. God's word is very plain. It's very simple. And I'm talking about, when I talk about Jesus, I'm not talking about the Jesus from Hollywood. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. The one that was from Nazareth. Does anything good come out of Nazareth? Y'all know who, remember who his mother was? Mary was his mother. His dad is a carpenter. The same Jesus I'm talking about, he didn't go to school at the feet of Gamaliel. He went to the school of the synagogue. He was in the synagogue. That's how he got his learning. That's the Jesus that I'm talking about. That same Jesus. The same Jesus was the one that was not only crucified on the cross, but he was crucified by his own people. The one that hung, suffered, bled, and died. And one of the last things that he said while he was up on that cross, he said, "Take care of my mama. Take care of my mother." He hung up on that cross. He took our whipping. He died for you and for me. That's the Jesus that I'm talking about, and that's the Jesus that's the head of the Church of Christ. He is our head. Brother Sanders, where's your destination? Where's your headquarters? Our headquarters is in heaven. We don't have an earthly headquarters. One of these days, we're going home. The Lord is coming back. Brother Sanders, when? I don't know, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, I want to make sure that I've not only listened to the voice of God, but I have followed God's word. If you want to do that tonight, you've heard his word. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Don't take Brother Sanders' name for it. Don't say what Brother Sanders said. This is what the Bible says. Do you believe God's word? Will you repent of your sins? Will you decide that you're no longer going to follow man's voice, but you're going to follow God's voice? You have to change your thought process. Change your thoughts, then your life will change. Acts 17 and 30. Confess the greatest name on mortal tongue. And that name is the name of Jesus, the same Jesus that I just briefly talked about. Romans 10 and verse 10. Upon that confession, you will be baptized into the Lord's church. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Acts 2 and verse number 38. You'll go down into the water. You'll come up out of the water a new creature in Christ. Your name will be written in heaven. And if you'll live faithful unto death, heaven can and will be your home. And I ask the same question before I end this call. I'm going to ask the same question I asked earlier. We need to ask ourselves the question, is what I'm hearing from heaven, or is it from man? Are you listening to God speak? Thank you.